Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 29th of November, recording at 9:23 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today, and a generally risk-on bullish day in Asia. All the stock markets that I looked at, and that was quite a few, are up, except for mainland China, which has slipped again and is now sliding into the small base formation that it formed in the latter part of 2008 and the early part of 2009. Now, it's doing this despite the strong performance that we see from the Hong Kong HSI index. Now, that's not denominated in strong Chinese renminbi. It's pegged against the US dollar, but that doesn't account for all of the move. So obviously, share selection is a factor in all that. And all I can say is that I'm surprised, because we've had quite a few upward dynamics in China this year, but it hasn't been able to hold rallies. And it's fallen back and extended its overall decline, which looks overextended and oversold, in other words. And also, the valuations are really near levels or even below levels from which previously pretty good rallies have occurred. Even the, in going back to Hong Kong, the HSCEI index, which is denominated in the Chinese currency, shows a basing characteristic overall, although it hasn't been all that firm, but it looks a lot better than the China A-share index. So all I can say is I'm surprised that China A-shares have continued to go down, with the given the upward dynamics that have occurred elsewhere, and given the much, much firmer tone by most of the Asian region, and given the overall valuations, and given that the uncertainty over the new governmental team has been largely removed. So this remains a question mark and a concern here overall. I'm trying not to get too worried about it, given the factors that I just mentioned on China. But we also have to remember that this is the world's second biggest economy. So it is important. It does have a leash effect overall, although the rest of Europe has been holding up really quite well overall. Now, among the star performers in Asia, it's the ASEAN sector yet again, and we've got the Philippines and also Thailand as the two top performers in that region, and very, very impressive growth rates or appreciation rates overall. Now, also, though, India has had two very powerful days. I think they weren't consecutive in the sense that there was in terms of trading days, but I think there was a day holiday in the middle, but two very strong days enabling India to break up out of its sideways trading range. Owen has commented on this today in comment of the day, and has contained those charts, which of course you can also see in the library. But we had basically a 3-month trading range, which was, I've been describing it as, and we've been hoping that this was a consolidation of the rally that had taken India close to new highs for the year. And this move has today has certainly reached new highs for the year, and it's a very impressive overall performance. And I think we're going to see a push on really towards the 20,000 level. And that's interesting, especially as the Sensex index. I'm just going to bring that up here just to comment on that. That had been, well, if I go back, sorry, I'm going to go back a little bit further. That had been actually below 8,000 briefly in the end of latter part of 2008. But that was pretty much the bottom. And here we are today at 19,000. So going from 8,000 back then and in early 2009, and it's currently 19,170. So that's a mighty impressive gain overall. Now, this pattern technically looks more than capable of testing what is the early 2008 high, and that's up at about 21,000, and that was equaled back in the latter part of 2010. Excuse me, before we saw a pullback to about the just above the 15,000 level. So here we are, within reach of the all-time highs for this important index, and clearly investors are liking the government's much more aggressive stance. They're now a minority government, but nobody has shown any inclination to try to vote them down so far, and that's a good thing, and hopefully that continues really here for quite a while. Meanwhile, it would take a close beneath 18,000 to suggest that maybe the action that we've seen in the last 2 days, or specifically today, was a failed upside break. But I don't think so. Looking at this pattern, it looks very encouraging. Okay. Now, looking at the European stock market indices, they have continued to be impressive. And in my opinion, the word crisis is no longer appropriate here. Now, that may sound like an overstatement or an overconfident comment, but really what we can say about Europe is that Mario Draghi has really sort of organized an effective program here, and people are working together. They've just given Greece a little bit of breathing space in terms of the interest rates that they're actually paying on their debt. So they've given Greece a program that the country can actually survive, and I think that's a good idea. They'd like to keep Greece in Euroland, and the performances overall are pretty impressive. For instance, you may be a little bit surprised to hear that the German DAX index. You probably know this. Why do I should assume you'd be surprised? You probably know this very well. The German DAX index is up over 25.5%, and that's quoted in U.S. dollars, because I was looking at some of these indices here and just looking at them all in U.S. dollars just to see them in a constant currency. So it's actually up 25.61% today, and that compares with 12.59, so it's twice as good as the performance that we've seen by the S&P 500 this year. Now, also in Europe, we have the Euro Stoxx 50 index. That's been in a 3-month consolidation phase, and it's actually testing the upper side. And also the important European banks index, Kershal, this one, that's in another fairly tight range in which it's really only given up, I would say, little more than a fifth of the gains that we'd seen from the year's earlier lows. And that's now testing the upper side of the overall range. So I've got to say, what I've said before, this looks like a consolidation. And that doesn't really surprise me, given the progress that's actually taking place in realigning the European Union and getting countries to work together rather than fight each other, as we saw before. There's an awfully long way to go, but as you know, the feeling really some time ago, well, and heavens, only a year ago, the feeling was that Europe was going to collapse. And that's not happened. So those very extremely bearish expectations, which also cast a pall over other stock markets around the world, it was very much a preoccupation, wasn't it? But that situation really has improved dramatically with the gains that we've actually seen in all of these indices and with the coordinated effort to address Europe's problems. So, no, the single currency is not about to break up. And no, we're not getting aggressive spikes in the actual bond yields for some of the more troubled countries in the region anymore. So this is all good news, and I'll repeat my point that the crisis descriptive word no longer seems appropriate in terms of Europe, although it may take people a little longer to forget to include it in the same breath with Europe. So that's good news overall. Now, what about Wall Street? Let's move to the States. We've got two big uncertainties here. We've got the fiscal cliff issue, although most people, and I'm with the consensus here on this, take the view that this is going to be resolved. I've said before, the Democrats hold most of the cards, and the Republicans, well, you've got to have a death wish if you hold out and block an agreement. If enough of them were to hold out and block an agreement before year end, going over the fiscal cliff, in other words, that doesn't mean that the U.S. doesn't have plenty of debt problems going ahead, and I do feel that the whatever the strengths of the Obama team, that the Obama economic proposals are not going to address the overall debt problem to the same extent that that Romney would, but he's not a factor in here. So the Democrats are holding most of the cards, and the Republicans may hold out for some of the terms they want, but at the end of the day, they're going to have to concede. So it's largely going to be a Democrat program that's going to take the U.S. economy forward, for better or worse. So that's one concern, or one uncertainty. But sentiment varies on this by the day. And there's also a cost to the length of the delay that we're actually getting. Maybe the politicians can rationalize this because pre-Christmas period, and there aren't going to be that many big economic policies being decided as they can conclude. I'm not so sure about that, but that may well be the thinking. The other factor, of course, is the certainty of higher taxes on capital gains in the new year. So I mention this daily in my audios, and Owen has certainly mentioned it on a number of occasions. That will certainly, I think, help to hold Wall Street a little bit in check, but it depends how people actually, what they actually do. A lot of them have clearly started taking profits to lower their tax rate once the election result was known. And so we had that rather sharp reaction. They got oversold, and we've had a very good, reassuring recovery here overall as sentiment was starting to deteriorate. So if investors are more optimistic, then the tax selling won't really be much of a problem. We might just tread water for a while because they could sell and then just buy right back. In other words, if they've got a good gain, they can still lock it in this year and reestablish the position. But inevitably, some of them will realize the gain, sell, in other words, and wait. So if sentiment deteriorates, their numbers would, for whatever reason, their numbers would increase a little bit, and that would tend to weigh on those weigh on U.S. stocks and those U.S. Indices overall. So that's in a trading range, and my guess is that it'll probably remain in a trading range overall. But I think then it will be moving higher because I think we will move beyond the fiscal cliff. And the tax selling that would have taken place perhaps in 2013 has been brought forward. And the biggest factor of all, last but certainly not least, is that the QE, the quantitative easing program, certainly continues. So that's a good, strong tailwind for that US stock market. As you know, I'm concerned about when this actually ends, but we don't have to worry about this today, although we will discuss it from time to time next year, and I think investors, well, all of us, we need to try to work out what we think here in terms of the potential ramifications as that quantitative easing is removed. It will certainly make investors more nervous for a while. And will the economy have a sufficient head of steam to go on growing on its own? And if so, will we also see a push upwards in some inflationary pressures? Now, people have wildly different views on this, widely different views. But it's going to be discussed and debated really from here on. Now, what else to mention? Government bonds. Well, they're still very strong. They've got the QE. So now I have talked about this in advance of a peak in this market in terms of total return for these investments. Because I think we need to be thinking about this and to have some sort of policy and strategy for dealing with it. But my feeling is that this most definitely is a bubble, and it has extended the long bull run, which is now over 30 years for these government bonds. The QE, which no one's ever seen before, that has extended it and will continue to do so. Therefore, any short positions today, I think, would be way premature. And I've lost a bit of money this year shorting those bonds. I've also made a little money, but I've lost more money than I've made by shorting those bonds. And I'd just as soon leave it alone. But when it does look right to really short the government bond market, and I think many of us will actually be interested in that, my feeling is that the best way to do that will not be with futures positions, because big bubbles and then going into a topping phase, the volatility can be extreme, and that will test nerves too much. It's too risky, too choppy. But I think put options out of the money, put options are the way to are probably going to be the way to go. And that's what I'll be investigating. And I'd certainly welcome the thoughts and views of any of the people who within the collective who are similarly interested in perhaps doing this. And we can say we can discuss what instruments we might wish to use and how far ahead we go and so on. Now, again, we may be several years away from the end of that or the bursting of that bubble. We don't know whether it'll occur rapidly, whether it'll occur violently, or whether it'll occur in sort of a slow rollover. And one of the reasons for that, again, is that the situation is unprecedented in terms of all this QE. And another is that the central banks, I think Ben Bernanke, while I'm sure that he feels that he's actually succeeding with his QE in terms of preventing the US from becoming locked in a Japan-style debt deflation. That's has not yet been proven, I hastily add, but I'm sure he's thinking that, and I'm sure he's determined to actually avoid that. And that would be a big triumph for him, but that triumph would be much diminished if we then ran into considerable problems as he and the Fed pull away from all this QE. So this challenge is certainly going to concentrate his mind, and I very much hope he's successful, but we'll see. We will see. Now, what else to mention here? The precious metals. Yesterday, that meltdown that we got just at around the same time as Wall Street was opening up. I suspect that's probably more coincidence than anything else. But these are unnerving developments. And when you get gold falling over $20 within 60 seconds, I think was the report that one of the reports that I was using here today, writing about today, that is certainly trying for investors, all of us. And it plays on anxieties. There's all I can say here is we don't know whether that's quantitative easing. It might well be, because that's becoming a bigger and bigger force in these markets, and there's plenty of it going on in the gold market. But there have always been aggressive traders in the markets who may well be trying to shake out holders. Maybe the people who are actually quite short in the gold market who are trying to knock the price back. And they had some success yesterday, but not for long. For instance, palladium bounced right back up to 687. Platinum has lagged much more. It's still down at 1613. Gold has picked up a little bit more here today. So it's only 20, it's really just over, it's about $26, $27 off its highs that it was seeing a week or so ago. But it is choppy and it is unnerving. You have to look at the big picture here. We are about to enter the 16th month since the peak of gold in 2011, and this is in line with these other very lengthy big corrective phases first, followed by the accumulation phase. I maintain, and I think the evidence supports this view, that we are back in the accumulation phase, but these pauses have, if I recall correctly, have lasted about 21 months. There's no reason why it has to duplicate that exactly this time, but it seems on schedule. I think we're back in an accumulation phase, and I want to be overweight in these metals. And what else to mention? Crude oil, it's range bound. That's good. Hopefully, we do not see any upward pressure here. In the near term, there's still a risk that that could take place. But overall, as you know, the trajectory in terms of our long-term view is that energy production is increasing, not least because of all the shale oil and gas. The U.S. is obviously leading that, and the U.S. has a uniquely strong position among the big developed economies in terms of its energy costs now. And that is a considerable advantage, and one that will benefit the U.S. over the medium to longer term. So it's interesting, and overall it's more bullish than bearish. And on that note, sorry if this audio is too long, but all the very best to all of you.